16, 1987. Interview done by Eileen Hindy and Edith Jordan of Mrs. Nancy Appleby of Athabasca. In 1944, you and your husband Jack and son Ted moved from Stettler to Athabasca.
From Camrose.
Can you tell us what the town was like when you came in 1944?
Well, it was smaller, of course. I mean, not the stores that are here now. What did they have? The stores, Mike's, and the large stores, a variety store. What else did they have? Just stores. I don't think I paid much attention just to go in and out of them. And two drugstores always right there. And the Echo, of course, was still here. Aside from that, a dance hall up at Parker's at the top there.
Over top of the store. You moved to Baptiste Lake.
Out to Baptiste Lake. The boys were, Jack, Frank, and Jim were in the Army and Air Force. And so Jack and I moved up just to stay with his mother and look after the place while they were away. But we stayed on and didn't go back to Camrose.
Was there very many permanent residents out of Baptiste Lake at that time, or was...
Oh, yes, the farmers.
There was a...
Oh, yes. Eelsons, Armfelts, and Loxons, and Smallwoods, and Smiths, and all around the lake.
And now it's all tourism.
Of course, it's all tourism, and it's all private.
Yeah.
We had the frontage, the South Athabasca there, the South End, and it was more or less public for anybody that wanted to come and bathe and picnic and that kind of thing. But now, of course, people come out and there's nowhere for them to go.
Yeah. What year did you guys move to town then?
57. We built a house in town. And Jack was teaching junior high at that time, and we just found it difficult to travel back and forth every day. I was in two or three times a day sometimes, in and out teaching, and so we decided to build a house, and everyone else was building. We thought, well, maybe we could too, so we did. And it was really a wonderful move. We were just a little away from the school.
Yeah. You taught school music at the school.
Yes, I did.
What years did...
Golly, I can't remember that. You'll have to ask Alice. She'll remember.
Okay.
Junior high. It would be in the 50s, wouldn't it? It was after we moved in, anyway.
After you moved into town?
No, before that. So it had to be in the early 50s or late 40s, somewhere in there. Because I used to go from the lake to the school, that's right. I taught music and dancing. Taught some of the boys how to dance. They could still claim that's where they learned. That was fun. Clumsy kids, you know. I hated it, but I thought I had to do it, so I get to make a huge circle and 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, and accent the one. And they clap and dance. It was fun.
Tell us about the Klondike Days festivals that were held in town. How did they get started?
Well, Hazel Hall and I started them. We talked about something different, and I had gone to Victoria to visit relatives with Jack's mother, and they lived in Cordova Bay in Victoria, and they were putting on a Klondike night, their community in a community hall and invited me to go along with them. Of course, I was all ears because we were wanting something different for programs. And this is where they had all these little concessions and booths on the sides of their community hall, and Crown and Anchor and games of every sort. And I thought there was a marvelous idea. And then they sold tickets on the ice break, and they had the pictures of it and miniature things made up of it. It was really very interesting. And then they had a program, and I thought, boy, this is what we could do. So that was my idea. Well, in the meantime, Hazel had gone up to San Gudo to visit relatives, and they had put on a Klondike night at the same time. So she came back with her ideas, and I came back with mine. We put them together and developed this.
What year was that? Do you remember? First one.
Would it be... that's when we started building the hall. And it was down in the basement that we put it on.
Was it 1949? They started? Cause wasn't it the New Year's Eve dance, 1949 was the first
time? Down in the basement. Well, could have been February, or it was usually in February, wasn't it? I had never thought of it since. But I know it was in the basement because who were we going to get for an orchestra? No, it was upstairs. I remember the concessions upstairs, so it had to be upstairs. I don't remember them in the basement. But I do remember the girls dancing the Klondike in just a homemade platform up on the stage. And it was Hazel Hall and... Well, that's when Vera Priest danced. Hazel Hall and Vera Priest, and I don't know who else. That was the first year. But it wasn't the next year it was that much bigger, you see, because we had the room. And that's when we had all that different little concessions.
Yeah, it got bigger and bigger every year,
according
to the papers. It was first just a one day or one night event,
then it was Friday night, Saturday night. I remember we made $3,000 one weekend, just with the program. It was packed, always packed.
Well, did the events start off like in the morning, or was it just the evening events?
Evening.
Just the evening.
Well, I think they had things going on through the day. I don't really remember.
I don't remember.
My part of it, looking after. I know I used to go into the, Jeanette McCallum and I used to go into the city to the Victoria High School, there, Victoria Composite. Mm-hmm. And they had a variety club that used to put on variety shows every year. And this is where I got my ideas for the stage show. And I'd come back and sort of more or less do the same thing, only we'd pick our own songs and do our own thing, you see. But the staging and all that, one year we had a New York scene on stage, the big store windows, and what was the one song? Daisy Daisy, you know, Bicycle Built for Two. We had a bicycle in the window, and we had posing one of the boys in a striped jacket and straw hat and Jeanette. And they stood there, the statues. And then we had another window with down by the sea, advertising swimsuits and that, old-fashioned swimsuits. And so on. And then as the program came out and the music started, they come out of the window and on the bicycle and the wheeler down the front, do their little number and then go back in. It was really interesting. They had some marvelous ideas. Wonderful program. Do you remember, Edith?
I was only, we were away most of those years. We were only here for one long night.
But I remember coming back with, working on that idea as some good show.
Can you remember what year it ended? And why did it end?
Well, the kinsmen had it. It was getting kind of out of date and stale. Meaning that people were not as interested in just... they need something else to lighten it up, you know, after so many years. Unless you have new people in it and that kind of thing. You get tired of seeing the same old faces. At least that was the excuse. Another kinsman had it. We had different Klondike Kates. I was Klondike Kate 1 year. And who else? Hazel. I remember Hazel Harrell's sister, mother-in-law.
Yeah.
She was
Sarah Lemley.
Sarah Lemley was Klondike Kate 2 or 3 times.
Were they, were the Klondike Kates just appointed or nominated or...
Yeah, sort of. I think whoever would do it. Or the last resort, I think they asked me, because whoever saw a short Klondike Kate. Really.
And then you had the Can-Can girls go into the city.
Well, that was the time of the trek to the city. The boys all went in, and our Klondike girls were getting ready for their own first program here. Not first. Oh, it'd be later on. Yes, years later. We'd had it several years, but we were the first to have it. And I think Edmonton copied us anyway. We took the girls in, and they did such a beautiful job of dancing that... That's right. They were quite impressed. So when we put ours on, some of the fellows came down from Bonaventure. The orchestra leader. And who was the other fellow? He was in charge. I can't remember names. Anyway, they came down, and I remember they asked if the girls would come and dance the Bonaventure. So this is when we went in for the first year.
And that was when Edmonton...
66 then, wasn't it? 66, that's
yeah,
what 66. It says on there.
And that was Edmonton's Klondike.
Edmonton's first Klondike. And the girls did a real terrific job. I have a great big picture. I should really give it to you. I will eventually. Beautiful picture. The girls dancing down on the Fox Farm. And that is a very elite do. Everybody who meant something in society was at the Fox Farm that day for lunch after the parade. And our Dave Hunter got our girls. He knew somebody that was important there, and he told them about the girls, so they asked the girls to dance at that performance. So I have a picture of them dancing on a little stage out in the open. And they had a piano up there, and they did a really good job. A really nice picture. You can enjoy having it here.
That was in 66.
That was 66.
66.
And we danced there for 10 days, 10 nights. And our expenses were all paid for, and we'd practice in the morning. You'd have a good session of practice in the morning, but the girls could do what they wanted to do after lunch. And they had to be in by a certain time so we could get together and run through it again before we went on. And we did 2 numbers. We did the can-can, and we did a little, just a dance routine. Sometimes top hats and canes and that kind of thing.
Then after that, we see Athabasca Story, when you had found the early can-can girls
yes,
again.
That was the, when John Havard was up. That was a terrific thing, wasn't it? Lots of work, though.
That's
I helped
time
to
practice.
Well, I was helping with the dancing. We fell a bunch across the river, you know. Krusha's bunch that used to dance. And then they wanted him to perform, but he wanted certain music. And so these steps had to be fitted into the music John Haven wanted. Nothing else would do. And of course he wanted the a ballet number from the Swan Song. So I had to get busy, and we had to get somebody to dance, and that was, who danced that? Jeannie Yasek? And Norman Grady. Well, she had taken ballet lessons, so between the bunch of us, we got the number for them. The Dying Swan at the end. What a headache. That was about the worst of me. Trying to teach a bunch of adults what to do, and everybody wanted to. Finally, John Havard came out, and we got it going. I don't think I was a bully. You know, you have to be a bully practically to get some things done.
That was in 1955, the first Athabasca story, wasn't it?
No, 67. Yes. 67 was the second one, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was done twice.
It was 1955 and then 1967 was the centennial.
That's right. Yeah, 67 they had another bunch dancing. I don't, maybe the same bunch, I'm not sure. Yeah, they haven't done. 67, 68, and we danced for 3 years. It was interesting.
And then you didn't have them for quite a while, did you, until 86? Or was there in between?
Oh, there could have been, just an impromptu thing. I don't know. There's some kind of an opening, wasn't there? What did they have at the theater? And I had a group do it, Duke Can-Can.
Was that last year?
No, several years ago. Just after the opening, or at the opening of the theater. Some sort of do they had. It was the night of the opening. Do you remember a whole bunch of us standing up on stage? It had something to do with the building of the theater. Oh, well, it was the Athabasca Players. And we had a can-can that time. Oh, I have a different bunches, I don't know which, but right now I'd sooner be teaching the old bunches.
Music festivals were another big thing.
Yeah.
And stuff. When, can you remember when they got started?
Well, it had to be when I arrived, 44, 44, 45, somewhere in there. Alice would know that date, too. Mr. Hudson was here at the time. And I had a lot to do with festivals and cameras. Actually, I taught the kids. Well, we went down in 30, and the first festival was about that time, shortly after. Because I remember testing Jack's class to see who could sing and would take solos and helping him. Then after that, I was adjudicated all over the southern part there, down as far as Sedgwick and Stettler, and all through there, adjudicated. And that was a real experience.
So the music festivals here were just for the school children.
Mm-hmm.
Was there other outlying schools that came in for the festivals?
Oh, yes.
Or they were
Oh, from here, you mean? Well, anybody who wanted to could come.
Mm-hmm.
You know, different districts. Like, I remember when Lac La Biche started, I took some of my class up to Lac La Biche to sing. But then we found it was rather difficult getting, you know, back and forth.
Mm, too fun.
But I entered a lot of them in the Edmonton Festival. See, that's where I started singing. I studied singing in Edmonton. I took my all my different grades in at Alberta College with Madame Duggan. I sang, took all my exams right up to my ARCT. At that time, they called it ATCM. So I got my degree in singing at that time. And there were only two of us were, Rita Swain and myself were the first two to get the degree in singing from the Toronto Conservatory in the city of Edmonton. We had our pictures in the journal and a big write-up. That was a long time ago.
Did you ever sing professionally?
No, not professionally. That is, I sang in plays and things like that, musicals, and Camrose, and Smoky Lake. And I used to do a lot of singing, vocal singing, I mean, solos in the city. And I lived in the city. Sing all over the place. But one of the examiners from Toronto Conservatory, Vic O'Keel, my last exam was with him. And he said when I went to open the door, you see, he looked up so high up the door to see who was coming in next, and he said he got down to the doorknob and there I was. So I really didn't have the physique. This is what he said. He told my teacher. He said he was quite impressed, but he said I didn't have the physique to go into opera and that kind of thing. So
you weren't big enough.
But he said I'd always make a good parlor singer. So. And I enjoy the teaching part of it. I still enjoy teaching. Pretty interesting. Mm.
You started teaching piano lessons and giving piano lessons in town here shortly after you moved, wasn't it?
When I came back, yes.
Yeah.
I used to come up in the summertime and I used to do a little bit. Like, one year I came up in June. I would be 37, 38, some that time in there. 38 maybe. And taught dancing and singing. And at the end of August, he put on a big recital up at, Parker's Hall. And I had all kinds of routines and everything else, and the place was packed. So I used to do a little teaching. I remember teaching Sam Gosselin's daughter singing, and she put her at the festival in Edmonton. And she came first. Did beautifully.
That's nice.
Yeah. Mm. That part, I couldn't count the number of youngsters I put into festival, or I couldn't count the number of weddings I played for, or funeral. Mm-hmm. Somebody said you should keep a record, but you don't. You just, well, they need somebody to play, so. Have a play, or sing, or whatever it was.
But you used to have a recital every year, didn't
you? Yes. Mm-hmm. I still have a recital. I had one last year and the year before. Last 2 years I had it at the theater, just for the private. So I don't know if this will be my last year or what.
Oh, you're going
through. Depends on my health.
Do you have very many students right now, or?
Well, I have enough to keep me busy. I don't think I'd want any more, and probably I'll dwindle them down if I teach again. It's just getting to be a chore, you know, when it gets to that place. Away.
It's not fun anymore.
Yeah. Oh, it's still fun. I still enjoy it. I have good kids.
Were you very involved with the Search for Talent nights that
yes.
were held here?
Yeah. I think if it hadn't been for my kids, I don't think we would have had a Search for Talent. Because somebody had to, you know, sort of be responsible and put some good stuff in. Oh yes, I've had had several wins. Who won the Cyan Edmonton performed? Well, he was the postmaster, McLevin, Sheila McLevin. Sheila did a wonderful job. I have a picture of her singing at the big performance.
They used to hold the little performance or contest in each of the little towns,
yes,
and then those winners would go to...
And semifinals would be somewhere, they'd pick a town.
Mm-hmm.
And then the winners would go to Edmonton. They used to have them at the auditorium, Linda Swicker play there? And when she won 1 year. And Sheila won 1 year. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
They all did not win.
Well, the kids must have been proud to get
all the way. Oh, yes, it was an experience for her. It was a good experience. And it was too bad, but it got so the festival came in, started up again. And, you know, you can't do everything. Train them for festival. I've got scads of kids going in for festival this year. Everybody wants to sing. They want to be in 3 or 4 or 5 classes.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of work, and you couldn't do both, search for talent.
Right.
I received a beautiful old home plaque, not a plaque, but just an ordinary bit of paper, but anyway, from... he was head of it in Edmonton, head of the Search for Talent, what was his name? Isn't that funny? Anyway, very nice letters saying how much they appreciated having the pupils come in to take them, because it helped.
Do you have any students going to the Search for Talent that they hold in Boyle?
No.
No, you don't either. Because they're still holding Social Talent
Team really?
Boyle. I don't know if they've just started that or if it's been continued.
I think they've continued it.
Because
I remember different ones that I had from Boyle used to take part. I had 2 or 3 pupils from Boyle.
Mm-hmm.
Used to sing a lot.
Melanie Turnigan is a pupil of yours.
Oh, yeah, I had her from 6 years. She was 6 years old when she first started singing. And she's done beautiful. She's done wonderful work.
She's gone long.
About 2 years ago, we entered Edmonton. And she hadn't gone to Edmonton before that. Well, I think, yes, maybe the year before, but that particular year, she entered 3 categories and came first in all 3. And then she was sent to, was it Calgary, she sang in. In June they have the the provincial. And she came first there. So she has a real future. And then she won the silver medal 1 year for her exam. She's been taking singing exams since I don't know when. Cut her off of grade 2 and 4 and 6. She's just taken her grade 8 vocal exam. But this 1 year she had the highest silver. She won the silver medal. Won the highest marks.
Makes you proud when your students go that far.
Well, you know, you have students who are interested and students who have talent but can't be bothered. But then, you see, Melanie had her mother to help her, too, with the accompanying, and that means a lot, to have somebody interested. You do it on your own, it's a lot hard. Though I had to do it on my own. Actually, when I took singing, I was brought up in a school. It was just a school where young people came in, girls came in, wanted to take business college or something of that sort, and there's a place to stay. And I was only 6 years old when I went into this school. My parents died when I was tiny, and my uncle, I was living with my uncle, but they had a family, so they got this place to, for me to stay in. So I went to school from there. We went to Mackay Avenue School. And used to go to Medugal Church and sang the choir there for quite a while. And there were four of us that sang at a missionary meeting at the Medugal Church one time. And the next thing I knew, somebody had phoned to say that they were interested in a voice that they heard in that quartet that they wanted, would like to train. And there's a teacher from Alberta College, Gladys Cocker. So one Sunday, the matron came in and she said, Nancy, I want you to sing a hymn and somebody else to sing a hymn. Because this lady wanted to hear us sing, but she didn't tell us why or anything. So we sang a hymn and then she picked me. So she took me as a protege, you see.
And how old were you then?
Oh, I'd be going on 15. And that's about the time that you usually should start for singing. That is serious singing. Before that, when I teach, I just teach some songs and not very much in the technical line because you don't want their voices to over-mature. Mature gradually, then you're doing the proper thing. But anyway, I studied under Gladys Cochran, and then she moved away to be married, and Madame Duggan said she'd like to take me under her wing. So she gave me lessons, and I took my exams, and entered the festival, and I was 15, I entered the class under 19 years of age, and there were 9 in the class, and it was a lullaby. They asked me to, it was my turn to sing, and I was so frightened. I was just so nervous. But anyway, I got up and sang. I didn't think I did very well, but anyway, the adjudicator came down. He was from London, England. He came down, he went over each number, but didn't go by name, you see. And he came to my number and, I've just had it, and all the nice things he was, saying about everybody else. And he said, well, when this singer got up, very sweet voice, but he said she looked as though she's going to murder the child and lull it, rather than lull it to sleep. And my heart just sank, I thought, this is it. So anyway, he went back and read all the our numbers, not our numbers, but our whatever
marks
they gave us. And he said, and the winner is, and he gave my number. I just about died. I started to cry, and Madame Duggan jumped up and her husband was there, and her brother was the mayor of the city at that time. And he picked me up like this, and swung me around. Oh, I tell you, I was never so flabbergasted in my life. So I won a silver medal. That was the class I entered. That was exciting. I have a picture in the journal. So that's been my line ever since. Festivals and music.
Yeah. Made your career out of it.
Well, you couldn't do anything else, and I didn't have the physique. I decided I better do something else.
Yeah. You were also involved in the civic defense in Athabasca.
Civil defense. Jeanette and I went down to Arnprior one year. And there were 96 women from across Canada, from coast to coast, and it was an experience you'll never forget.
That was in Ontario?
That was Arnprior, yes, near Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
Just outside of Ottawa, it was a place where, you know, the army had been, the training quarters. Mm-hmm. So we were all set up right in these training quarters. Of course, the trip across, my first airplane ride, and Jeanette hated it, and she's never ridden on a plane since. And then we changed planes in Toronto. I took this little bit of a thing that was so scary we just about died. And got to Arnprior about 2 in the morning. And from then it was an experience. It went so fast. 92 women, 96 women. First thing the next morning after breakfast, we had to get our army outfits. And you can imagine how short I was. I had big rubber boots that were too big for me, and I had coveralls that were too big, I guess the smallest they had, and a helmet, I guess. And you should have seen us. We went through everything. We learned about using a hose and putting out fires, climbing up ladders and helping people down from the upper story, and cleaning out a basement full of bricks and debris that had blown up, you know. And we had to form a big line and get all this junk out. And whoever, and then when we got in, to get in, we had to get all this out of the way to get in to see if there was anybody killed or dead or something or other. And whoever got there first had to put the name on the corpse and to see how quickly we could do it and how many minutes and so in seconds. Oh boy, that was a night to remember, the whole week rather.
What year was that, do you remember?
I don't remember.
Well, it was 1 week training that you got.
1 week training. We were up at 7 in the morning. And we were so tired the first night that they showed slides, and we went into the canteen room to see. We had these gorgeous plush chairs, and all we did was sit in, fell asleep, a whole bunch of us. But at the end of the maneuvers, at the end of the week, they had us write little answer questions and suggest how they could do a better job. A better week, you know, teaching stuff. And we all said, well, don't have a lecture on slides the first night we arrived. Because, you know, everybody just fell asleep. But it was very, very interesting, wonderful experience. Made a lot of friends. And we had fun at night. The canteen was open. I used to play the piano and everybody danced. The last night was where they invited all these men from Ottawa to come out and help us celebrate our last night. Of course, I had to play because nobody else played. Out of 96 women, I was the only one that could play by ear. The other girl could play. There's another girl there, but she said if she had the music. Well, no one brought music, you know. So anyway, I got tired of playing. Decided I'd had enough. Anyway, we were invited out, Jeanette and I, out to somebody's yacht for the evening, but we didn't go. Jeanette said, well, do you want to go? And I said, well, Jeanette, I can't swim. Get on the boat and I have to swim back home. So I decided the best thing was to just stay home. That was fun. We had fun.
After taking that training, did you come back to town and then train others?
Well, we did. I can't remember that we trained others. I think we had lectures or something, more or less. It just dropped. We went down to Colton, I think, and gave a lecture. We did one here and what had gone on. I still have the notes and the great big book we had.
Was this all through that EMO, that Emergency Measures Organization?
Yeah. Because this is what we learned to do. How would you feed a large number of people? And We had lectures on that, and we tryouts, you know. We had maneuvers the Friday morning, the last Friday, where Siren Blue and I had to. My job was to have the gear counter, whatever you call it, and walk around and see where the bombs were. Pretty good, I suppose. But anyway, Jeanette was she'd been rescued. And so she didn't have to worry about walking around. Oh, it was fun. We were so tired. The sirens went off and everybody just chased all over the whole ground. Oh, it was fun.
Well, there was actually the EMO here was very active.
It was, yes.
With Red Cross first aid training and meetings.
Oh, yes, we all took courses and everything. I remember that. It was interesting. But it didn't last too long. Because I remember just, you know, all of a sudden it dropped. Well, it's like I got interested in other things.
And the fear probably wasn't there anymore.
Yes, I think that was it. Yeah, after the war. But it was good. It was wonderful women, a bunch of women. Every qualification you can think of. Way up in the education.
I don't think there's any EMO or anything here now, is there?
I don't think so.
Well, I've never heard of it. Mine's just probably under a different name now also, I would imagine. Seems everything has gone through name changes over the years, so. But I don't recall hearing.
I think they've talked about starting up again, but.
People are so busy. But so many other things. Youngsters and everybody. I find everything so different. The young people are so different right now. I know what it is. They're more independent or what?
It seems, I've noticed even like with the town events, even just this last year with the 75th events and stuff, it seems participation, there was more outsiders than local people participating in the events. And
everybody is dictating. They want certain things. I want to do this, I want to do that. And that's it. Nothing else. I find it very hard to do things with young people. They've got a mind of their own, they're going to do it that way. Do you find that?
Yes, I don't think it'll ever be like it was 30 years ago.
Never. Never. No.
Now it's usually how much do I get paid?
Well, yes. Well, somebody asked me the other day, they wanted the girls to dance at a certain, the can-can girls. And they're all so busy, they just don't have time. And they said no. They were fed up to here. I said, well, I was too. So we didn't do any more about it. But then the next practice we had, one of them said, oh, we'll dance for them, you know, whoever wants us. And I said, well, it's too late. I said, you said we wouldn't, so I just said no. Oh, I said, you know, you could have been paid for it, too. Because they said, well, now what do they charge? Oh, how much would we get, do you think? $20? I said, you're not worth it, as far as I'm concerned. You have to work a lot harder. I said, you know, you have to work to earn money. Really work. But they thought they were perfectionists with maybe three practices. You can't do anything.
Well, you have a group of girls then that are can-can girls, or do you just...
Well, I had them, you know, for last summer.
Play.
But they're not interested. Mm. maybe two or three of them are, and that's it. But you have to have them all interested, dedicated, like this, these girls here.
The early bunch.
We practice 2 to 3 times every week. And sometimes before Klondike, we'd practice every day down at the hall. And they were there. And that's the only way you can get perfection. Mm-hmm. And that's why they got to the Bonaventure, you know. And we were the first. They were the best in the city at that time. Now, of course, they're all really good. You know, professionals that they get. And we weren't professionals, but we really worked. So.
What year did Jack pass away?
63. And he didn't mind, mind you. He was a wonderful person. He didn't mind. He said, well, you're independent, you have to be independent. And he encouraged it. Sometimes he got pretty tired of it, I'm sure. But he never complained. So I was really fortunate that way.
He must have loved poetry, writing poetry and stuff.
Ted's hoping to get a book out. Ted's retiring pretty soon. And he's trying to do something about getting Jack's poems into a little book.
Nice.
Yeah, we've got a good collection. We tried to clip them out of the old newspapers as we come across them and stuff. To have a collection here in Mm-hmm. But I don't think we've got them all.
No,
we
I think
a lot.
We probably have missed
Ted
a lot.
Ted has a lot of them if you ever wanted any. I mean, we could always give you the book and you could pick up what you want.
Has Ted got a business at the lake?
No. You see, he bought the land from us. And we tore down all the cabins and everything. And he has friends who just come out and they pay him for it, for the use of the land. And it's sort of just like a big family. I think they put 4 trailers and they leave them there all year. Mm-hmm. And come out every year, come out whenever they feel like it. And he's going to retire out here.
And Jim is still at the lake.
Yeah, Jim. Has just a few acres there beside Ted, but either Ted will get them when if he passes away or moves out. But Ted kind of keeps an eye on him.
I guess it'll always be Appleby's Beach there.
Yeah.
In a long time.
Yes, because Ted having it now. He loves it. I think he's taking 2 more days off, so he's going to spend 1 day in Edmonton, 1 night in Edmonton. The rest of it, he's going to be out here. That's good.
Ted got a family?
He's got 2 girls.
2 girls.
Yes. Laurie and Wendy. Laurie's getting married this kind of fall. And Wendy, I don't know yet. And I've got 1 great-granddaughter. Oh, girl, she's the cutest.
That's one thing in town, it seems. Music has always been a big activity in town. You know, with the players and the music festivals. I don't know if that's really changed over the years.
Well, they didn't have very much when I arrived, I know that. You know, you have to have somebody who's interested in
that's right.
And start kids off and give them a bit of training. And Sam Goslin's daughter was the first one I had as a pupil singing. And then Stark family, you know, with the church. John Stark, and you know, right now I taught those kids piano and singing. And John is head of the music department or something in Vancouver somewhere. and has written a musical play that they put on in Vancouver. And his sister Doreen teaches piano. So, you know, all these kids that I taught from years back are really doing something. Makes you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
I hear from them.
It seems there's a lot more job opportunities now with music also.
Yes.
Than there was in the early years. I guess music was thought of just as a leisure activity.
That's right. Now you see, like Frank, like my nephew, Brian Appley, see, he studied piano. He took all his grades up to 9 was me and piano. And then, of course, he's a band leader in one of the schools in Edmonton. And has done some wonderful work with this band. Gone to Europe. You need to go to Europe from here. Or somewhere. So you need that musical training.
Yeah.
It comes in handy. You know, a person never realizes until they get into it.
Yeah, it's thought of more seriously now.
Mm-hmm.
I find that than it was before. It's just not solely for entertainment. It's
yeah. And then I don't know whether a bunch of them got together, Denise Douglas and Nadine Gislick, and 1 year, and gave me a Nancy Appleby date. I think there are 300 people there. Gorgeous. I didn't know anything about it. Denise said, keep February such and such a date aside because an evening, she said, we're having something. And I thought it was a church. It's going to be at the church. So I said, oh, Denise, what are you doing? Oh, you wait and see. I never dreamed. I got all dressed up and here they took me down to the community center and I was piped in, you know, Ron
Dawson
and Ken Knight and his, escorted me in and oh my goodness. And all these people from everywhere, even the coast, had come out. What a thrill. I tell you, I've never forgotten it. It's just beautiful.
You received the Citizen of the Year in 1974 also.
That was through Alice. She sent my name. I said, Alice, she said, I'm sending your name and give me all the information. I said, you're not sending any name. And it's a lot of people have done a lot of work for me. I said, that's silly. No, she didn't give to me. So I gave her what information I had. And she sent it in, of course, Laheed, you know. I taught his daughter music. There's all his family, Bob and Lorraine and Jeannie. And they're all my pupils and cameras. And her dad was my doctor, his Rogers. So that was really interesting. Anyway, here I get this letter saying that I was picked up to get this award. So I had to go down to Calgary and imagine it. Big banquet. Laheed was there. And he gave me an extra hug. He said, Jeannie, send congratulations and so on. So it was really nice. I had my picture taken with him. That was exciting. I wanted Alice to go down, but she wouldn't go. Ted went down with me. Carol went down. I could only take one person, you see. I want to take Alice. She wouldn't go. Somebody should send her an email, you know, for all she's done. For Citizens Award.
Yeah, she's been very active. I think there's, it seems anytime we don't know anything, we just ask Alice.
Mm-hmm. Yes, really. Well, girls, that should be enough.
You got any more questions there?
Nope, that's it. Interview done February 16th, 1987, by Eileen Hindy and Edith Jordan.